Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
It's the Dork Podcast with Rich Keefe. It's the Dork Podcast.
Brian Davis.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag
Dork Podcast.
I'm going to from. For the last time in season four, welcome into a very special hashtag Dork Podcast. I am Rich Keefe, joined by my from brother. That would be Nick Fryer from the TLDR Comic Book Club. Fryer, how are you?
There are no rules in Frumville, so I think we're covered.
That's true. You can do whatever the hell you want. That's for sure. If you've been keeping tabs on this, we did an episode, what, after the first two or three episodes, and we did one at the halfway point?
Bingo. First episode and halfway point. The first episode was one of the best episodes of the season, but it did get stronger as we went on. We'll get into it.
Yeah. And so, again, we've talked about how this is an MGM Plus show. Now, Netflix did pick it up in some regard. I don't know when they're going to get the episodes. And so I assume everybody listening to this has watched From, but for the few of you that like to tune into the beginning of these episodes before we get into spoilers, if it's coming to Netflix, there's no reason not to just dive in, start with the first episode, just sit back, and you'll probably finish the first four seasons in like a week. Like, you will rip through this thing. And I don't know when that is. I just saw that story a couple of weeks ago. I haven't seen it pop up on Netflix or anything. Now that this season is in the books, I would think any time now you would see it. And they're scheduled for one last season. So season five, 10 more episodes, I'm guessing will come out sometime next year. That'll be it.
First off, this is crazy that it's getting to Netflix in any capacity. Obviously, we don't know like exactly what it's going to be. But I do think now, as we're talking about it, Yellow Jackets, the way I got into it, because obviously you had talked about it when I saw stuff in the past, I was interested in it. The first season at one point was on Netflix. So me and the missus watched it. And then it's like, well, we want to watch more. So we've gone back and since watched more. So I'm wondering if like with From, they're going to do the first season, maybe the second season, but not all of it, to then kind of incentivize people. It's like, we got our hooks into it. Because after the first season, the hooks are in.
100%. Yeah, I wonder if that's what they'll do. And maybe that's the deal they have with MGM Plus, is like, look, we'll help you guys out. Like, we'll do this. It'll get the popularity up. People will then jump over. They'll pay for that last season because Yellow Jackets is on like Showtime or some shit that nobody also is really subscribing to.
Yep.
And good call. It could be something like that. So it's absolutely worth diving over. It's the show that not enough people are watching, but the like four people I know that watch the show all love it, want to talk about it. There's a ton of layers to unpack. Even on the poster itself, it says like, from the producers of like Lost. So it's got like a Lost vibe to it. You're trying to figure shit out as it's going on. And I think we're going to have to pretty much do all spoilers here because it is the end of the season. Any non-spoiler thing you want to say about From in general, or even this season of From?
I think just on a larger standpoint, it was a strong season. I think things have been up and down, and this season did have its ups and downs, but the highs were very high in this season for sure.
Yeah, there is something about the acting when you first get into the show and you're like, not everybody's playing on the same field. No. Where it's like you have some people that it looks like, whether it is or it isn't, it looks like it's their first acting job. And then you have others that you're like, oh, that guy could win like a Golden Globe for this. You know, like it's mm-hmm. all over the map. And I think this, to me, the story is so good, the horror elements are so good, that I didn't really care that like some of the actors were a little bad. You're just kind of like, yeah, right. It's like watching like a soap opera. We're like, ah, that person's not as good as that person, but I don't really care. And I ended up moving on. Whereas this season, and part of it was one of the weaker actors was kind of out of it. I didn't feel that, or maybe I'm just used to it, but I felt like everybody was pretty on the same field now.
Like one of the characters, we talked about it in season five, who had been bad previously, before episode five. In the past, they'd been frustrating, but in the first half of the season, they were great. And then they kind of fizzled into the background a little bit. It wasn't until like this big, like cataclysmic event that my wife and I were reminded like, she's not that great. There's two, I think, that are head and shoulders, like worse than everybody else. And unfortunately they do get a fair bit of screen time.
All right, that's good. Let's get into this.
Yeah.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
All right, these characters, as we know and love them, have been in this town for multiple seasons. We've been with some that have been there. Some predated our sort of introduction to these characters, and they are trying their damnedest to get out. So now it's like all these characters are pretty much established. We know what they're attempting to do. We know at least one of like the quote-unquote villains of this season, of this series, is... because of all that, and because you didn't need a lot of like introduction and things, I do think it was the best season of From. There, it wasn't like 10 heaters of 10 straight episodes that were unbelievable, but I don't know if any show really does that. But I think, like, looking back on it, I came away being like, this was really, really strong. Started strong. There was an episode towards the end, but not the very end, that I thought really stood out, which we can get to. I think it was episode 7. Mm-hmm. And then I thought the last few... Maybe you don't love the finale, but I think it at least sets you up for the final season really well.
I actually like the finale quite a bit personally, but looking at, seeing your notes, I looked at IMDb because I kind of been curious. Cause I've been trying to do some stuff for work, like on a weekly basis about this as well. Mm-hmm. And episode 5 is actually the highest rate on IMDb, the highest rated episode of the entire show, believe it or not. But the season on the whole, like when the averages are brought together, it's actually the lowest rated season of the bunch, which I do not agree with that, because there's so much stuff from a plot moving standpoint. I think something that happens sometimes with viewers, and I don't mean to sound like a film snob or anything like that, but sometimes like there's character building stuff that sometimes it can be viewed as stalling. This show does stall. Like, this does happen with the show where sometimes they kind of, they spin their tires a little bit, but there was definitely character development stuff that was slower in this season that I think was also vital to this season as well.
Interesting. So I'm pulling up those ratings that you said, IMDb season or episode ratings, and season 4 from the premiere episode to the finale goes 8.1, 7.1, 6.2, 6.5, 8.4, which, as you mentioned, is the highest of the season. Now, that was the episode where the giant dolls came alive. And I feel like that would have been a lower rated episode, maybe, because that one felt like, as crazy as the shit is, that one, I think you could sort of feel that, all right, there's not a lot of money invested in this show. Mm-hmm. Like, it maybe could have taken some people out of it, if you know. And so I'm surprised that was 8.4.
Then
it
was stuff.
Yeah.
Jade stuff, Keith. Oh. That's what it was. That was the episode. That was the midseason finale or whatever, or break. And that's where we learned everything about his past and his trip and everything.
Oh, yeah. And you find out that he actually never really left and it was a dream. Yes. So it was that part.
Yeah,
I do like Jade. Jade was really good.
That was a great episode for him. And he's the one moving the plot more than anybody.
Yes, 100%. Then it went down to a 6.1. Then it jumped up to an 8.0, which I think personally is my favorite episode, 7. Mm-hmm. Then it went down to a 6.5, then a 7.9, and it ended with a 7.0 flat.
I don't know about that.
8.4 also. Did you say this, Friar? Not only was the highest score of the season, the highest score of this series.
The entire show. Yes. I was kind of surprised by that. Huh. I mean, I'm not saying it's undeserving, but I was surprised by that. But look, IMDb, like, none of these, like, I'm not always a fan of like these.
They don't always add up. Yeah.
No, but I still think I do think that by and large, they were right about the highs. I just think the lows is just like a little harsh on some of the grading. There's, again, a lot of character stuff that was important here. You can't just take Tabitha, where she's being annoying the entire season, and then have in one episode have her flip a switch and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to like get on board. I'd like her to be faster about it, but like, she's not going to do it overnight, clearly.
Those IMDb scores, I feel like I've seen them with shows like House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones, Night of the Seven Kingdoms, Stranger Things, Walking Dead, and I'd say more often than not, I typically like agree with it. I think they recognize the really strong episodes and maybe kind of knock down some of the weaker ones. But that's interesting. I had not looked at that.
I tend to agree. I'm more of an IMDb guy than Rotten Tomatoes guy.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, especially on TV. Yeah. TV Rotten Tomatoes is a mess because you don't know if people have seen one episode, three episodes, the whole season. That one's kind of tough. One of the great things with this show is all the different theories that we have and we sort of try to apply. What's some of the stuff you think either we've gotten right, wrong, or still very much TBD?
So you called that Fatima and Ellis can't both survive. And obviously there's still a TBD with Fatima, but you were right on with that one. The one that I really wanted to circle back with you on, though, is from our initial From conversation, which is after season 3. We now have a name for Clara, who I said when we convened that time, Rich, that like something's off with her. Something's not right. I thought she was more like the man in yellow, but she, it turns out she's in league with the man in yellow. But that was one that I was right about.
Yeah, that was a good one. I also stumbled onto this, I think during our last episode, was when the man in yellow can take the form of Sophia. And I was
curious,
can you only take the form of those that have been there before? Which sort of jumping around a little bit, Elgin proves that he is the dumbest character in the history of shows.
Oh my God.
Where Elgin stumbles upon an old photograph in the diner and it's Sophia. So the person that he presents it to is Sophia. He's like, hey, this looks like you. I'm like, oh, like fucking anybody else. Dude. Why would you go to the new girl and do that? How do you not, how are you not just like head on a swivel at this point? He's been there long enough and he's been through some shit.
Yeah. So to that end, there's two things I want to say on this. One, I want to give him at least his credit that he didn't take her offer. He at least learned from his mistakes, went out the right way. I respect him for that.
Okay.
However, there is so much stuff where it's like, how did they not think of this? How are they not open to this? And there's so many things where it's like, it'd be tough if you were in that situation. Like, it's easy to see it from a viewer standpoint to think, how do you not consider whatever's being said? This is not one of those instances. You are absolutely right. Like, he is an all-time dumb character in the history of television, in all of like story. But also, Rich, it makes sense for this character too. That's what I feel so bad about.
So that's the other part I was going to say is like, if you're Elgin in this scenario, what characters do you trust? What other people do you trust? And can he really go to Boyd? Probably not. I would think, and this would have helped quite a bit. I know he had his issues early on with Randall, but can you go to Julie? And would Julie be sort of a safe space for Elgin? And then that would be good intel for her. That would be great for us as the viewer. Like, if she had that information and could go running with it. But I just mean, like, I feel like that might be somebody that he would be comfortable talking to.
Julie's actually a really good call. Because I honestly, off the top of my head, I was like, I don't know. I know, like, there was some stuff with him and Fatima in the good way early in this season. But she was already out of the picture at that point. So it would have been like, he would have had to hold off on that. I don't know. Yeah. Julie's like, Julie might be the only one.
But I don't know. Maybe.
I know Costa wanted to defend him, but I don't think she'd done anything to develop their relationship.
No. And maybe I'm giving myself too much credit. I just feel like I wouldn't have gone right up to the new girl. Because if it was a new person, I'd be like really skeptical of the new person.
Absolutely not. I there's a lot of stuff where I'm like, it's hard. Like, you don't know. Like, I try to take a second and be like, well, if I was there, like, I'd like to think I'd know, but I can see how somebody wouldn't. This is not one of those instances. Too much weird shit has happened. How do you not be like, listen, I might give her the benefit of the doubt, but I got to check with somebody else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or
it's
like
so dumb.
Or mention it in front of like a big group of people, if nothing else. Like, not in front of one person.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
She can't be there, though. But you have to like know, like, if you're not going to do it with one person, you know what? You're right. One person probably isn't a smart move on his end either. Two people would be the right move. See, even then, I would have made that mistake. I might have gone with just one person, honestly.
But just, it's so frustrating in real time.
What he did is wrong. And like, there's no way you can justify that, period.
But at least it did sort of confirm like how the man in yellow can move throughout time and shapeshift with those who've been there before.
Well done with that call. Because when you said that during last episode, I was listening back to it, I was like, oh, like Keith called that shit.
Yep.
But when I listened, when we were talking, I didn't think much of it, in all honesty. So that was
a throwaway thing, but then it was confirmed. Another potentially throwaway line from this season, Marielle says her mother didn't believe in heaven or hell, just that when you die, you go somewhere else.
Okay.
Because I think season one, and we've talked about this a lot, but season one, my theory, like a lot of people's theory, I think was like purgatory. You know, they never really paid that off. That wasn't really the case in Lost, but that's what a lot of people thought it was in Lost. Whereas in From, you're like, well, maybe it's going to be all these people maybe had car accidents or something, and that's why the last thing they remember is being in the car, and then all of a sudden they're in this town, and there's like monsters here, but like at night, and I don't know. There's been enough stuff to sort of disprove the purgatory, but I did think it was interesting that a character specifically mentions heaven and hell and like what happens when you die.
So first, like from the non heaven and hell like angle specifically, like I'm more and more of the mind of this might be some like pagan type stuff, like Elseworld kind of thing, like their own kind of, it will be hard to explain that if they do that, but I just feel like the way the man in yellow and the boy in white are kind of interacting, it does feel like it's two gods kind of like going toe to toe with each other. I stand by, I hope that the man in yellow is not Loki because he's just so overused at this point. But my question for you, and I've been like, I was waffling back and forth when I was going to ask you this, because so I've never watched Lost, but you've talked about it enough. My wife watched it, so I know some things. And obviously we know Boyd, Harold, how do you say his last name? Perrineau?
Yeah, Perrineau, I think. Yeah,
Perrineau. Okay. Obviously, he's in that show. Does he end up, like, sorry for anybody who hasn't seen Lost, does he end up dying in Lost? Because I'm wondering, is there a chance where these are the Lost producers? Do they go and decide, like, oh, this is actually like a shared universe kind of thing, like pull a Marvel and DC and just out of fucking nowhere, we're like shocked by the end of this?
Yeah. No, he died. He does die.
He does die. Okay, got it. All right, so that's kind of out the window then.
Yeah,
unless it's another place that he went to. Like, I don't know how that. I don't know how the Lost rules work. So he was a
pretty frustrating character in Lost. He's definitely more of a hero in this than he was in that. He was fairly complicated in that. Yeah, you'd get fucking mad at him, but ultimately, spoiler for Lost, he did die.
Okay, so that may not work, but I apologize for all Lost fans who are like, there's no way this could connect, but I'm just...
I throw a wall up there.
Yeah, I don't know. I was wondering.
Another one, you just mentioned this sort of like with the pagan stuff, is this was a line from Sophia this season. She said, quote, "This place is built on ritual."
Yep, that plays into that 100%.
So that's huge. So that's sort of like, all right, how this may have gotten created. Like, we had kicked around the idea of, like, maybe, like, there's this deal. I mean, they're even talking about it now. Like, maybe, like, you sacrifice these children, and then you kind of go from there. I like the idea of, like, you get immortality, but it's not necessarily in the way that you think, right? It's sort of like, you can live forever, and people are like, fuck yeah, sign me up. But they don't read the fine print. They don't read all the fucking little thing. They just scroll to the bottom and click accept. And then it's like, oh, you're a fucking vampire at night, and like you have to sleep in a cave during the day, but you're alive forever.
Yeah, not great, but I can definitely see that happening to anybody who visits there, because so many people have made dumber decisions. Honestly,
There was the whole thing with Victor thinks that Ethan could be the next version of him, and he sort of breaks down how he was there with his mom and his sister, and then next thing you know, everybody died and he was left.
Yeah, it's a great theory. It's like fan theory type thinking, honestly, and I really like that on him. And I just love seeing him being more proactive. This is the most proactive I think we've seen Victor in any season so far.
I think so too. He also, now this was frustrating. So Victor is trying to like train Ethan in a way and like get Ethan prepared for if he's the only one left. And so Victor, there's this whole episode on it, and Victor's telling Ethan that the boy in white told him when he first got there that there's three things you need to survive.
That's right.
One, food. Two, pretend you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Basically, that's why you would like create the dolls, just so like, you wouldn't go crazy, and you would like talk to dolls. You pretend that they're your mom, pretend that you're your sister or whatever.
Totally normal.
And then number three, we never hear. It gets like interrupted, like they end up fucking going away from it, and like something happens, and that might have been the episode where they found the teeth and everything else. So it's like, you kept waiting. You specifically said there are three things. He never said the third thing. Do you have any theories about the third thing that Victor would tell him?
I think that in the end, it's actually just not going to be something we care about a whole hell of a lot. It's just gonna be like, oh, thanks for calling back to that and closing the loop. But that's it. Okay, great. How I feel about it.
I don't know what it's going to be.
I have no clue. Honestly, Rich, my whole thing with that scene was Tabitha handled that whole thing very, very poorly. Like, we know Victor's like got issues, understandably. And he's like kind of realizing that she's kind of his mom, and then she just loses her shit on him. Come on, dude. Like, figure it the fuck. She needs to figure it out. I mean, she's getting better at the end of the season, but my God, she's a mess.
She's tough. So that's the other thing of this season, is like the reincarnation thing seems to be legitimate when Tabitha and Jade keep getting called back there. And we also don't know why the other characters are necessarily there and how they've all gotten pulled to that place. One that I still cannot figure out is how Christy and Marielle were together, and Christy was there for a long time. And then all of a sudden Marielle pops in there.
Yeah, that was a wild one. That was a great like development. And then it's just like now Marielle's gone. RIP. That was a tough one.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the two? So we end up getting, we'll call it 2.5 deaths in the finale. We, you know, wait all season. Roger's the only one that dies at the season finale. Everybody wonder who's Roger? Like, yeah, exactly. How did you feel about the two that we got? Because I felt like we need, if we weren't going to get one like main heavy hitter, and neither of those two were, we needed multiple.
Yeah, so I think in that sense, I think that was the right call, because there are certain characters that they, I still thought Donna was going to go, right? Like, we called Donna had the okie doke. Donna was almost
multiple
okie dokes. And then Donna somehow survives it for now. Just because I felt like she had the least amount of overall importance to like the place. Whereas you're like, all right, Tabitha and Jade aren't going to go out. I also, you're not going to kill Boyd with a full season to go.
Right.
You're like, are there's three characters that are probably safe. So then after that, who is sort of like the next one? And there's like a group of 10 to choose. Oh, I also, I didn't think you were going to kill Julie or Ethan.
Nope.
Yeah, or probably not. Victor. Right. So like there was a group there that we probably should have identified as somewhat safe. And then it's like that next wave of characters. So, but it was sort of a growing list. I mean, it's already always been like an ensemble cast, but like all of a sudden you're looking at it like, oh, there's a lot of screen time to go around. So, yeah, I thought they handled it probably pretty well.
I was pretty happy with it. Like, especially because of what ends up happening with Fatima, where it's just like, she is, but she isn't dead. So it's like, okay, we got two legit deaths and one where it's like,
question,
the game has changed.
Can Fatima be, first of all, can Fatima survive that? And if so, could she be almost like a double agent, or like a blade type, where she's half vampire, half not, and she can work for them?
I am hopeful that that's the case as the resident Fatima fan, but I am not optimistic.
No, it's unlikely.
She's like, that's why she said, like, remember who I was. It's like, no, don't do this to me. This poor woman's been through so much. I mean, she has her like heroic death in a way, but when we see her next, and she's got a big ass smile too, she's going to be terrifying to look at.
Oh yeah. She's going to be really good and really scary.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my favorite stuff this season is the few times that you see Sophia a little shook.
Oh yeah.
So Sophia thinks that she's like pulling all the strings, and there was the scene where all the crows showed up to the funeral, and she's like, this is not what the fuck I wanted. And then there was a few of like Boyd being like, this is what like our plan is. And she's like, what are you doing?
She's
like, you're stabbing them now. Like with that. And like, wait, you guys are going in there. Like that's pretty fun. Like that scene, Sophia kind of freak out a little bit.
That was, I mean, and then to just get the another okie doke at the end where it's like, this didn't do shit. And then like, dude, when I've been like wanting a significant death, and I'm sure I'm not the only one.
But
then when it was like, it's Kenny, I'm like, dude, don't do this to me. I'm not ready for this shit. Like, and that was episode 7 where it's just like, I was so, like, by the end of it, thank God he survived. But I'm like, I should not have been asking for this.
Dude, that was just, I love that episode so much, because that was that whole thing with Kenny and Boyd, and then Kenny takes over. Then anytime you're like in the streets with these guys, you don't know what's going to happen at night. And then he's like in the bus. I also don't know why he didn't just sit on the latch. So he gets into the bus. Then the smile guy is there. And then he like escapes through the latch. And then the smile guy, then he like gets off the latch. So he like goes right through. Right. Like he could have. Yep. But anyway, it ended up working out. Fatima sort of sees through it.
Yep.
And it becomes like a whole thing. But
she was the golem.
She was the golem. The fucking clay man. Fucking Clayface saving the day. Also, this season is Henry, Victor's father, going back and forth from the From world into like a hospital bed. It's seeing like in this other reality where he sees like Victor, and Victor has like a kid, like a wife, and like a their doctor's telling him like, hey, you need to like get out of this fantasy world or whatever.
Yeah, I got to give that character credit, like. I didn't think he was that strong in general, and he lasted way longer than I thought he was going to. It was inevitable that he was going to break. But I will say, like, when he pulls the gun on Victor and then Ethan walks in, I'm like, no, don't do that. I felt like my stomach dropped. I was like, no,
fucking. It's like the whole premise is like, they're kind of telling him like, you got to kill the anchor there. And like his anchor is Victor. So he's like, I have to go kill Victor. And then even Victor in this other world is like, Dad, I'm right here. Like, dude, fucking do it.
Yep.
Now, is this because Henry had some of the blood of Sophia? Is this why he's having these visions?
Yeah, because that happened to Henry. And then similarly, that's what led expedited some of Fatima's stuff as well, if I'm not mistaken, was blood.
The double blood sip was outrageous. Fucking Clara being like, hey, try this. It's like a home remedy. She's like, I'm good. She's like, fucking drink it. She's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's I guess this show's slowly turning into Midnight Mass.
Yeah, seriously, like everybody's just drinking each other's blood.
They're all vampires and nobody knows.
Like, awesome. You'd mentioned Roger, and it was definitely sort of like a let's create a character just so we can kill a character thing.
Yep.
However, when he got, speaking of blood, that was actually the egg when Sophia brought him back from the dead.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
That was some of the best horror stuff for the whole season. So that's he gets woken terrifying. Up from the dead, but then his mouth is sewn shut, so he rips his mouth open.
That was horrifying. That was some of the scariest shit of the entire, not just season, the entire show. Yeah, that was.
Wow, brutal. Also a
what the fuck
moment. Sure. It's definitely a top of the fuck moment. I have a few more of those.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yeah, so a lot of the season two is about Jade and Tabitha's big plan and Jade following his mushroom trip and then trying to convince Boyd. And the whole time, I'm thinking, I understand why Boyd wants to be a little hesitant, but also, how long can you stay there?
Yeah.
Like, nobody's coming to save you. This seems like a real plan. You got to make some moves. And obviously, you don't want people to die, but like it's getting worse.
Uh-huh.
And so at some point, you have to go in there. And this seemed as good as any, honestly. Like,
I think, honestly, this is the first, like, so this entire show, for the first three seasons, Tabitha and Julie were the most frustrating characters by far. It's like not even remotely a contest. This season, Julie took a step back because she was good in the first half, then kind of just in the background more so in the second season, the second half of the season. Boyd filled her slot. Like, I felt like he was pretty frustrating throughout this entire season.
He was.
Happens though, I guess, but
Acosta was really bad. Then they just kind of like iced her, and then we didn't really see her very much. And then by the end, she was just kind of fine. Like, she kind of changed. Yeah, although I did like Boyd. I think we mentioned this in the last episode, is how some of the dialogue in this show is really good because it's just like how people would talk. There's the scene where they're driving away and the two-faced girl like grabs the gun.
Yeah.
And Boyd is just like, what the fuck? Screams. Like, it's like, I don't know. That every time he does that, it makes me laugh. Or he's like, they were like asking him like what the plan is or whatever. And he's like, we're going to get those fucking bones.
All right, you got to get some of these sounders in there.
I should get like a bunch of drops from just from Boyd specifically. When he runs hot, it's good stuff.
In all honesty, like from like the writing has been great in a lot of ways, but the acting, you talked about it before, like that's also what makes some of the like the worst actors so glaring. Like Victor does a great job in this show. I've never seen him before. I think Fatima does a great job. Christy, like that scene when she's like there with Marielle when she dies, like that was one of the better, I feel like death scenes, like a character like losing a loved one. She did an outstanding job. I felt that shit.
Yeah, it's really a group of actors, like you said, that I am not all that familiar with. I mean, I saw Lost, so I know Boyd. Right. And then after that, it's
Sophia's like... Sophia's been great. She's the best character of the season. Jade's outstanding. Randall has been great. So much like range with him. Also, Scar here held up real nice.
Oh, yeah. No, he looks good.
Yeah.
He looks good now. He might have been in... I feel like I might have seen him in like a show. I'm sure a lot of them are like one-off TV actors kind of thing. Sure. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
Going back to Clara or Clara, I had a real problem with her. And okay. So at some point, if you're promised like you're going to get out of here if you do this, I get being like, fuck it, let's roll the dice. Okay. And then that doesn't work. And then they're like, well, do this one other thing for me. Like, all right, I'll do that other thing for you. That also doesn't work. Doesn't send you home. Like at some point you got to be like, all right, this isn't working. Like, let's fucking tell. But maybe this also speaks to like Clara doesn't really trust anybody else either. Doesn't have that mm-hmm. relationship with anybody else, but she's frustrating.
Yeah, she doesn't like, that's one thing where that was part of why I had the suspicion with her, was she was always someone who was like kind of injecting herself in a scene, but then she didn't, nobody like really cared what she had to bring, like to offer or anything like that. So it's like, it seemed like she didn't have a relationship with anybody. So I can see why she'd be like, no one gives a fuck about me, so I'll just go with this person, I guess.
One thing that was annoying to me in their pull the tree out, drop the ladder down plan was when the ladder breaks. It was too obvious to me because they had Sophia in there helping with the ladder. Sophia like sabotages the ladder. I just feel like something to this degree and the amount of pressure put on them, like in this spot, you would test it all out. Like you would have somebody.
It's true.
Maybe you don't have the time, I guess. But I feel like if you have the truck, like as you're putting it in, wouldn't somebody just do a quick like stretch the ladder out kind of thing?
You're right. You're absolutely right. Like you're not going to do this full in depth check, but you're going to give it at least like a okay, this looks good, that looks good. And it was cut enough where they should have caught that. You're absolutely right.
We get a giant lightning bolt to the sky.
Your favorite part
reminded me of most Marvel and DC comic book movies. The movies that aren't very good that just don't know how to end, and they're like, I don't know. Send it to the sky.
It was Agatha all along.
It's a little bit of that. But also, like, the day turning into night was another, like, oh, shit kind of moment where they're all out there, like, in the middle of the day. This whole plans are in the middle of the day, and then it's like, oh, actually, it's nighttime now? Like, oh, boy.
Yeah. I wish they just, like, kept it a little short, but that was also specifically, like, when my wife was, when I watched it, she was like, look at Julie, like, how she's overacting so much compared to everybody else. And Ethan's in this, too. So it's not like we're just picking on a kid actor. True. Ethan is fine in this show. Like, I think he does a good job.
He was better this season. I didn't love him early, but I also think it was just the dynamic of, like, Jim and Tabitha and him. Sure. And it was like, nobody's really winning that.
Mm-hmm. Totally fair.
You get a good conversation between Sophia and the boy in white when she's like, oh, look at you all grown up. And he's like, you're going to lose this time. And so it just sort of like speaks to the history that they have together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 100% pagan god type thing. Maybe it's Buddhism stuff. That would make a lot of sense with the reincarnation.
What's the deal with the boy in white?
It's a great question. I don't.
Because he was the one that told Victor, like, they can't fuck around with that tree. But then I'm like, I don't know, dude, like, you're not really helping him get out either.
Well, he did help Tabitha get out.
Help Tabitha get out. And then Tabitha ended up right back there.
Yeah. But isn't that kind of how it always is? Like, the one who's supposed to be helpful can only help so much. And then the one who, like, can fuck things up is always constantly meddling. Like, I mean, look at, like, with Sophia and everything. Like, she's just doing so. I mean, now she's taking away the talismans and everything. So, like, it's just going to get crazy on that.
Well, so that's how it ends, is like, so she's just picking up talisman, then she dumps them down where the tree was. And so it's like, all right, whenever it's nighttime, all those creatures are just going to come rolling through. And that's why I feel like it seems so overwhelmingly against them right now. But maybe can Fatima still help? Because like, how are they going to survive one night without the talisman now?
Yeah, well, they did it before. I mean, they found ways before. They would hide in like bunkers and stuff like that.
No, they did, but that's before they had them. So like, right. Now you assume you have it, and so you can be sitting there, all the creatures come out, and you're like, all right, whatever. And now they're just gonna come walking through the door, and they're gonna be like, oh shit, we don't have these. So I mean, some people will survive, but like, it should wipe out half the population, I would think.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's not gonna resolve itself very quickly. That it will be an issue for at least a second. So we should, in reality, get a couple early deaths in this season, next season, but probably not many meaningful ones.
Again. Probably not early. Do you think they're close to getting out?
I do, based on what the boy in white said.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I don't know if they're going to get out. Just because they're close doesn't mean they're going to get there.
I know. Part of me is like, this show might be best suited for like, this might be the ideal ending. Fucking everybody gets wiped out. Then a few of like our main characters end up being sort of like demons there, and then like a new the show ends with a new family like pulling in, mm-hmm. and then like it turns to night, and there's like Boyd and Julie as like fucking vampires, like going after him.
Oh,
that'd be maybe too dark, like where there's not even a close to like a happy ending.
I don't mind that at all. I just
might be better fit with that.
Yeah, I agree. I just. Whatever they do, they just have to find a way to like scratch the itch for the audience, because there's been so many questions where we at least need some clarity, even if like the townsfolk don't get it in totality.
Or you do the thing where like they get out, or one of them gets out and like tells the story, and then they just like nobody believes them, and they
that's the other thing I've kind of been wondering is like, what does this look like? I'm happy that we're getting the fifth season and it's going to end. That means that things should move fairly quickly next season. We're going to get some resolution, all this kind of stuff, how that takes shape. But I'm also like, how are these people going to survive in the real world if that's where they even go when they escape this thing?
I was thinking that too. I'm like, if they all say like 10 of them get out, don't you almost have to like live in the same neighborhood? You either have to like see each other every day or like all split up and like never come in contact with each other ever again. There can't be like any happy medium. Like you'd probably be better off like living together.
I can understand the idea of like, I don't want to see you ever again. I don't want to be reminded of that place. It's just a bad dream. Like I'll like come up with lies and whatever I got to do. And I'll just live a normal fucking life as best I can. I think I'd rather be around people where it's like, no, I didn't lose my mind for the last couple of years. Like this they is real. Yeah, exactly.
I'd be more freaked if I was Jade or Tabitha. I think I'd probably, if I survive, I'd be more afraid that I'd get like pulled back there. Whereas the other characters doesn't seem like they have quite as much the same connection. Also, another one would be, is the man in yellow the biggest bad?
You asked that at the mid-season or at the first episode, and I think it is. I still think he is. I just can't see another. I think they're going to bring another big player into the fifth season, and they haven't alluded to that individual in any capacity whatsoever.
I mean, Stranger Things kind of did.
I mean, they brought...
Or season four, was it? They sort of brought the whole idea of like Vecna and like Juan in.
Season four, though. Like, that's season when they did that.
Yeah,
in Man in Yellow, did we know about the Man in Yellow before the end of season three? Like, we may have seen him a little bit.
I think we only heard his voice. So the Man in Yellow's voice was heard, I think it's season one, talking to Jim. But I don't think we actually saw him until the three finale, I believe.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure. So it's not too dissimilar.
Okay, that's true. All right, our podium for the season. Top three characters for the season. Your many candidates include Boyd, Tabitha, Jade, Donna, Victor, Kenny, Christy, Fatima, Ellis, Julie, Ethan, Sarah, Marielle, Randall, Elgin, Henry, Acosta, Sophia / the man in yellow, the boy in white, Roger, or old Patty Two-Face. Sarah's not making the list.
Clara does not deserve to make the list. I got to go number one with Sophia Maniello. I think that's a pretty easy choice to at least be on the podium, if not number one unanimous.
I think that's pretty fair. I think Sophia, pretty much every scene she was in was like, because you didn't know what kind of clues that she might give you or like who she was manipulating. Or like I said earlier, like I really liked how she reacted when things weren't going her way. Like, so that whole, I agree. Sophia, great rookie season and great overall. Season, even like the way Sophia like burst onto the scene and you're like, wait, what is this? And then like that whole thing was pretty crazy.
Yep.
And then anytime, like the few times that she was also the man in yellow still counts, one character. So I agree.
Agreed.
You'd probably have to throw Jade.
Yes.
Okay.
He's Jade. Next on my list. I think three is where we'll probably have a little bit of differentiation.
All right. So candidates for the bronze. I know you were frustrated with Boyd, but he still, to me, like, is the centerpiece of the show.
Sure, yeah.
It made me laugh. He had some good stuff. I like Randall and Sarah. I just don't think there was enough of them.
No, there absolutely was not. Especially with Randall, there was very little of him. Like he was great when he was on camera. Sarah was great as well. Like she had that whole bit early on with Sophia, 100%. But I couldn't give them number three.
What about Julie with the story walking and all that shit she was doing?
Mid-season, if we're doing like MLB rules, like she might be starting the All-Star game for one side, but she is not winning the Cy Young. No shot.
Okay, fair. I know you're leaning Fatima?
Yes.
100%. Oh, okay.
Sorry, I'm not that.
Oh, she was good. I mean, it was a different type of thing. I had not seen... I could not have anticipated that.
I love
a giant mud monster.
I loved the episode 7. Like, that's part of what makes episode 7 so great. Then in episode, I think it was 9, where it was the final one. It was the finale where she, like, we find out she's the monster when she screams, as Marielle dies, and then she, like, sacrifices herself. Like, her season was terrible for her in a lot of ways because just so much bad shit happened to her. But I like how she responded to some of the bad shit, and then in the end, like, I'm a sucker for, like, a great character sacrificing themselves at the end. So, like, that's why she's an easy number 3 for me. This was a very clear cut podium.
All right. I know she was very good. I think that's good. We'll do that for the show podium because she really had a lot to say. So yeah, for the those that we lost, I guess would be the in memoriam or the
pick of the bomb.
All right, who did we lose? Elgin. Sadly, Marielle.
Yep, that was a brutal one. That was tough.
Roger.
How could you forget?
Roger.
Roger got more screen time while he was dead than he did while he was alive.
True. And then maybe Fatima.
Yep, Fatima's like a half death. Like, she's not going to be the same character next season.
I mean. Donna pretty much also had a half death, but then pulled out. She kicked out on 2.5.
Yeah. Donna. There was a few one who were like, they're gonna die. Like, I thought her and Henry were shoo-ins as the season was going along, and then neither of them are dead. Like, Henry's not, there's no way Henry and Donna survive next season.
No, I don't think so either. But there is something about keeping that storyline going where Henry is in the other reality and sort of like snapping back and forth and like that. I wonder how long they do that in season 5. Yeah. But that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. All right, season 5 predictions. We sort of did just talk about this, but are you thinking, do they get out? Do some of them get out? Nobody get out? Where do you come down on this?
The only two things that I am, like, firmly secure in saying is Boyd is not going to survive this season, and Ethan is going to survive the show. Those are the only two characters who I feel like we know what's going to happen. Everybody else, I do think Julie is a borderline toss-up, leaning more towards her surviving. But that does not mean they make it out of this. I'm kind of like 50-50 on them making out of it.
Yeah, I just wonder if there's going to be some sort of any kind of payoff as to, like, who the kids were or who the other people were, or, like, because Jade and Tabitha are the ones that have this direct connection. Like, are the other ones there? Why are they there? That kind of thing. Is this world still going to exist after the show is one of my questions too. Like, do they figure out a way to get out of it? And, like, in a good comic book movie, also, like, destroy it so no one will ever go back. Or, like, we got out and there's going to be more people, like, kind of going back there. Like, I'm curious about that. I am with you that Boyd's probably going to die. But I wonder where that leaves Ellis. Like, how does Ellis respond? Like, what will happen with his character? Like, if his wife and father both go. And also, they brought back some of the mom stuff, too.
I think they're going to go down together. Like, if we were to do maybe this is what we should do before season 5, like, who lives and who dies.
Yeah, definitely.
Ellis would be more on the side of he's going to die for me, because I think he's just going to be like, I've lost a woman I loved. I've lost my mom. He's turned, like, we talked about this a while back. He's turned so much into his dad. Like, that actor has done an outstanding job of doing, like, a Boyd impression this entire season. Yeah. And, like, subtly, but clearly doing it. So I think he's done a great job, but he's not going to survive this. No way.
That's actually a great idea. Is going into season 5, we should do odds of surviving or odds of dying, odds of surviving.
They survive. Yes, no. Like, that's kind of like how we do it.
But you could also put it like +200 that they survive, -800 they die, or whatever. Like, all that.
I just want everybody to know if we do that, that's unofficial odds. They are no way related to my work.
Correct. Leave it alone. It's not official. You can't actually bet on it. But we can take some side action.
Yes.
Essentially, but hopefully we don't have to wait too long. I don't know when. They might be filming now.
I was seeing that it was going to be in 2027 at some point. So it's promising. I feel pretty good about that. The last thing I want to circle back on, Rich, is we talked about Fatima possibly being the kimono woman that Elgin had seen previously. Yeah. I feel better about that now, because now I'm thinking, like, oh, maybe she's going to die in this season. And then there's, like, again, some time travel stuff. Because, again, that does kind of look like Fatima.
I think she's going to have to help them out. Otherwise, they're just going to all get wiped out way too easily. Like, they need something else to go on their side to sort of tip the scales a little, or balance the scales, I mean, a little bit more. But All right, you guys can let us know your theories for From at Dork Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. You can email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Any other final thoughts there, Fryer?
Nope. I feel like great going into this fifth season. I feel like this was a good penultimate season that answered questions,
yes,
raised a few others, but like we have like this good momentum and a lot going into this final season.
Oh, Dork score. I didn't even ask off the rip. I was so excited to talk about it. What are you going to go with?
Shoot. I'm going to give it, I'm comfortable with giving this a 5.
I'm going to go 5.5.
Okay.
I'm going to go 5.5. I think there's been some good TV shows. I don't think, maybe I've given out 1 or 2 sixes so far. Oh, I think I did. I think I gave Darth Maul a 6 and maybe Ted. But like, did you watch Widow's Bay?
I have not yet, but I've been hearing great things.
So Widow's Bay was like a 5.5. That was a fun horror/comedy show. And so I think I'm going to go 5.5. All right. So Fryer's going 5. I'm going 5.5. You guys can let us know what your scores are. What do you got going on the TLDR podcast this week?
So Joe is on vacation. Technically I am as well. So we actually pre-recorded something, kind of doing a this year so far episode. So kind of looking back at all the new books this year. So none of the ongoing stuff like that started previously, like Absolute Batman, anything that started in 2026, like Cyclops, like the comic book Dork, all these different ones, we're talking about those, what we think are the best of the best. We ranked our top 10.
Awesome. I just read 2 comics over the last week. I read volume 1 of Absolute Martian Manhunter.
Well, how'd you like it?
I thought it was fine. I didn't love it. I thought I would. I didn't, because I remember Joe being like, maybe the art wasn't for him. I didn't mind the art. I was looking for something else maybe. And so I've only read 3 or 4 of the Absolute titles, mm-hmm, and so far it'd be the weakest one. Still worth a rip, sure, but it was not my favorite. And then I've still, after all these years, I'd never read Sex Criminals, and so I read all of Sex Criminals.
You read all of it? How many issues of Sex Criminals?
I think it was 30.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's an easy one to do. Like relatively easy.
I mean, it took me like a weekend or whatever, but like I think it was nice. 30. But it's like it was all on Hoopla, but that. That was a good one. That was fun. Because I remember you guys talking about it. And then I think it's, is that going to be a TV show? I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting adapted right now. I think for
Prime. Let me read this ahead of time.
Yep. 100%. Yeah. And I will say too, with the Absolute Martian Manhunter, I like it. I don't think I'll do an episode on the show. I've been back and forth on it. It's a tough one to recommend because I just don't think it's for everybody. So I understand like you having like,
I was like, yeah, it's fine. And so like the first volume is, I guess, whatever it was, the first 6 issues of it. So
the
like,
first 3, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman are all really good. I think Superman is a slight tier below the other two, and then Green Arrow's been, I told you, like, is outstanding, and Absolute Catwoman's been promising.
Oh, I'll check out Catwoman. Yeah, Green Arrow, I've only read the first issue. I went out and bought it when it came out, so I have read the first issue and I liked it. Yeah,
all right, yeah, hell yeah.
I liked it quite a bit, so I'll pick up where I left off on that one. All right, very good. So check out Fryer and Joe on the TLDR Comic Book Club, wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up, if you're watching live on YouTube right now, at 7:15 tonight, Monday night, Dem Thrones boys are going to talk episode 2 and 3 of House of the Dragon. So jump back on over here, or you can listen to all these wherever you get your podcasts. But in the meantime, Fryer, stay hard and stay curious.
The Hashtag Dorn Podcast.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.